This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The Wisconsin Legislature's Joint Finance Committee voted this week to restore about $5 million in borrowing authority for a program that helps preserve farmland. While that amount is less than half of the $12 million currently in the Purchase of Agricultural Conservation Easement Program, or PACE, Governor Scott Walker's proposed budget would have eliminated PACE, which provides financial incentives to farmers to keep farming rather than sell their land to developers. La Crosse County has been working in recent years to prevent urban sprawl. WPR's Steve Roysom talked with County Planner Charlie Handy about efforts to protect agricultural land.
Well, there's a couple things happening. Obviously, our population's increasing, so we need development for those new people in Wisconsin. But also, our density is decreasing. We have more of a demand for lower-density housing, for more rural-style housing, and we're getting a little bit away from compact developments.
What are compact developments?
They talk about traditional neighborhood design, so okay. You've got alleyways and paved streets. And if you go into any historic part of any community in Wisconsin, they typically have that style. The lots are smaller. There's new subdivisions that are being designed that way, but very few. Most of them are designed with a little bit larger areas, no alleys, you know, larger paved streets for parking on the streets. So we're getting into a less dense method of development.
And this is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio, WHLA. I just wanted to point out we are talking with Charlie Handy, and he is La Crosse County's county planner, so we're getting kind of county planner talk here. And we're talking about farmland preservation. And first of all, farmland preservation has been kind of a big priority for you in recent years. Is the state of Wisconsin heading into a situation where we're not going to have enough farm acres to accommodate our farmers?
Well, I think the thing that you'll see is anytime you have a decrease in infrastructure, you have a decrease in efficiency. And what we're losing is we're losing creameries, we're losing machinery dealerships, we're losing mechanics that fix machinery, things like that. And so farmers have to drive farther to find those things, and they become a little less efficient. Now, we're also becoming more efficient in, you know, productivity and things like that. So that's a good thing. We can produce more crops on less land. But I think there's a tipping point. If we lose enough infrastructure, if we lose enough farmers, enough farmland, and we lose all of the creameries or we lose a certain amount of the dealerships, then that efficiency of farmland is going to go away. We're not there yet, but I think we could get there if we still go on this path.
What happens if we continue onto the path and things become increasingly inefficient?
Well, let's not think about it. Let's fix it.
I don't mean it to be a doomsday scenario.
Sure.
But I mean, what are the concerns if it's...
Sure. Well, if you're a farmer, and that's what I grew up doing, it's always nice to drive just a couple miles down the road and find some help fixing the combine. You got to have teeth for your haybine, different things. Driving the milk to the creamery or having a milk hauler. Right. The more miles, the more gas you got to burn to get there, the less efficient it is, and so you lose some of your profitability. And so that's the concern, is that there's not going to be enough farmland and product to support the infrastructure, and it'll go further and further away.
Right now, is Wisconsin doing enough to keep the farmland we do have?
Wisconsin's had a farmland preservation program in place for about 30 years. Decent program, but it was kind of more along the lines of renting.
Okay.
It preserved the farmland in the short term. There was still quite a bit of farmland being converted. And so a couple of things that have been done that are new over the last number of years, comprehensive planning, which is a legislation that the state adopted, has really been completed across the state, and that's a good thing. So there's more political will, more support for planning areas for agriculture, instead of agriculture just being a holding area for development in the future. So if we plan it for agriculture, then we don't convert it. Then we leave it in agriculture of some type. And I think that thought process has really started to take hold in Wisconsin. Secondly, Wisconsin has converted their farmland preservation program into what's now called the Working Lands Initiative. And there's still that kind of that rent of farmland proposed in the Working Lands Initiative, and that's in the tax credits. But there's also then kind of the permanent preservation, which is the PACE program.
Let's talk a little bit about the PACE program, if you will. It is something that has received, it's a fairly new program, and I think it really hasn't had a chance to go into full swing just yet. And as it stands, the governor's budget would cut funding from the PACE program. Fill us in as to what that is, what the PACE program is.
Well, the PACE program is one of those acronyms that the government uses that we all love. PACE stands for Purchase of Agricultural Conservation Easements, and those are permanent easements. Basically, what an easement is the landowner continues to own the land, and in that land there's the bundle of rights. Think of it as a cup holder full of pens. And that bundle of rights, those pens, say you have the right to do X, Y, Z. One of the rights is typically what we'll see in an easement is it's an access easement, where the neighbor buys an access easement from you, from your land, from your bundle of rights, so that he or she can cross your land to access another point, whether it be going across to with their farm equipment to another field or going across to build a house or something like that.
Sure.
And so they purchased that pen out of the cup. That straw out of the bundle of rights. Agricultural conservation easement is basically the same concept. You still own the land, but a local agency like La Crosse County would then buy your development rights, that other straw out of your bundle of rights. And basically you could continue to own it as farmland and develop it as farmland, but you couldn't develop it as residential, commercial, industrial. That development right has been purchased, and you've been paid a fair price for it.
How does the payment work out? Is it half county, half state, half farmer, half county here?
In typical programs, there's three legs to the stool. There's a federal or state funding, there's a local funding, and then there's the landowner that kicks in a portion of the funding. And so it's like a donation from the landowner, and they can use that as an income tax strategy. They've donated some value to the program.
Sure.
That way it makes it more affordable for the public dollars that are being spent to preserve that agriculture.
Are there any PACE acres in La Crosse County or proposed PACE acres that we know of?
We have a number of acres that are under conservation easements, and those have been done by the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Now, those acres may be woodland, they may be wetlands or lowlands, they may even be farmland, but those were done privately. We have 0 acres of publicly funded conservation easements.
Are there other incentive programs to keep ag land, agricultural, on a county level?
Well, the biggest incentive program, when you talk with farmers, that's very effective seems to be use value assessment. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue, in approximately the year 1999, instituted what's called use value assessment in the state Department of Revenue in the statutes. And so that ag land, instead of being assessed for its highest and best use, which it was prior to that date, is now assessed based on its agricultural value. So that's reduced the tax burden significantly on those agricultural lands. What that's done is it's really preserved a lot of farmland and not forced farmers to sell it for development because it's being assessed as its value for development.
Are we seeing a lot of preserved farmland being switched back over into use, given corn especially?
Yeah.
Soybeans and such good prices.
Right. In farming, there's always shifts. You know, in the early part of the century, they shifted to planting alfalfa. Alfalfa was not something that was quick to convert. People weren't sold on the fact that it would be a good crop for the
right.
animals. And all of a sudden they figured out the protein value, et cetera, of it, and we shifted to alfalfa. Well, recently we've seen another shift. I think it started a little bit with the ethanol production and some of these co-ops being formed and farmers starting to see real nice returns on the corn. But corn and soybeans have both become fairly good returns, seeing that we can produce a lot of different things from those crops. And those different things that we're producing are really not food-related. Many of those products are other than food-related, and so the demand for those products is pretty high, both here locally and internationally.
Ethanol being one big reason?
Ethanol being one big reason, but we even have a company up in, they were in Melrose, I think they've moved to Whitehall now, where they take soybeans and they produce an impact-resistant gel. That gel is produced from soybeans, and it's used in insoles for shoes, it's used in blankets for horses, and I think they've even got a contract to make blast-resistant blankets for the U.S. military out of soybeans. So the products are varied, and you know, it's significant. There's a good price, which means that there's a lot of acres being converted into corn and beans.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio, WHLA. We are talking about farmland preservation with Charlie Handy. He is La Crosse County's county planner. Do you think that's something that's going to continue on, where we see odd products coming out of soybeans and corn, and perhaps concern about losing farmland will be eased a bit?
The real issue right now in losing farmland is the demand for new houses and new construction is way down. Because of the economy, we have a significantly reduced demand for development. That's going to change. That's going to shift back. We're going to see that demand come back at some point. You know, we've seen these swings over and over again in our public service careers, and we assume that that'll happen. The idea is if we can get some of these programs in place to soften that blow when it does come back around. One of the things that we're trying to impart as far as education to our builders and to our developers is we got a little bit into a cycle of just building the same thing. We built an awful lot of tan, vinyl-sided, $225,000 homes in the country over the last 10 years. And that got to be a real specialty. People got to be really good at it and made a lot of money at it. But we didn't need all of those same homes. And it also didn't create a real nice quality of life. Everybody's looking at the same thing across the countryside. It just gets to be kind of almost the exact definition of sprawl. So what we're trying to do is educate our builders and developers that there's a market for all kinds of homes, and there's a market for all kinds of different places to live and qualities of life, and try to focus on the urban side of development and infill and redevelop and promote higher residential values, especially in the city of La Crosse, which is our core. Right. There's also 70% of our jobs are in the city of La Crosse, so if people are closer to work, their quality of life's better. If people got to drive further, if they've got a little bit bigger house payment or a little bit bigger mortgage, a little bit bigger lawn to mow, et cetera, they don't have as much time to enjoy. And so we're convincing our builders to take a look at diversifying, building apartments, condominiums, smaller houses, urban houses. And I think that's going to be good for the economy overall, because we're not going to have this glut of this size lot and this size house. And I think they're buying into the fact that diversification is good for their business. It's also good for our residents, and it's good for our agriculture, because it will reduce the demand on development in that agriculture.
So in some of that development, too, it required more land?
Right.
Therefore?
Yeah, we have lots out there that they have their own personal soccer field. You drive out there and there's 20 lots in the subdivisions and there's 20 different great big John Deere lawnmowers running, mowing grass that doesn't do anybody any good. It's not feeding any cattle or anything like that. And the kids are all playing on one soccer field, but there's 20 fields out there.
What if the economy turns around again and a bunch of people say, I want the larger homes, I want the bigger yards, could it come back around and then farmland preservation may be imperiled a bit?
Well, I think that's a possibility, and what we need to do is to make sure we know what the market is for those homes and provide it, because that's a choice, and it's a valuable choice. If that's the way people want to live, we have to provide it for them. But when people make that choice, we also want them to know what are the ramifications of it. And so I think what we'll do is in the future we'll hopefully minimize that choice to those who really want that style of life. And the people that don't want that style of life, we'll provide them a choice also that's different. And I think we'll reduce that demand for large, sprawling subdivisions, and we'll increase the demand for other styles of development.
I know I spoke with you a few weeks ago, and you had kind of an interesting comment. We were talking about doing this interview and setting it up, and I asked about farmland preservation. And one of the biggest things that farmers are doing in La Crosse County is basically saying, no, you can't have my land, basically. That's a big player there.
Sure. That's been always the power tool, if you will, in preserving farmland, is that ethic that our farmers have to continue to farm, to carry on that family tradition, to work hard. There's so much pride in that profession. And I think that pride is really our power tool in farmland preservation. It's those landowners that say, no, I don't want the family farm to be developed. I want it to be farmed. And let's go find people that can do it.
Are there farmers that are concerned there's not enough property, farmland property available in La Crosse County? I know some operations where they feel they need more land. They end up getting their tractor and putting over into a different county.
That horse is not out of the barn, to use a bad pun. We have a significant portion of our county is still farmland. And people are surprised when I show them the maps and they see how much farmland we still have. Now, that being said, our farmland is different than if it's in Dane County. We have the driftless area. We have ridge tops and we have valley bottoms, and that's about it. All of those side hills are wonderful for infiltration of groundwater, getting that stormwater infiltrated. We have really good, clean, clear water because of all the hillsides that we have. But at the same time, there's fewer acres for each farm to do because they just can't farm on the hillsides. With the new style of farming, with the larger equipment, et cetera, we do have farmers that are going to other areas, other counties. Nutrient management plans have shown us that we need more acres to spread manure on because our phosphorus levels are high in our soils. So, you know, we do need a significant area of farmland just for the style of farming that we're in today. And I think we'll keep that. But if we start to lose it, and that's the path we're going down, then we could be in problems in the future. I don't think we're there yet, and I think if we make some choices and we fix some problems, we'll be able to avoid it. But it's just a matter of that's the trend, and let's try to change the trend.
We mentioned before about La Crosse County farmers saying, no, I don't want to sell my land. Any indication if the next generation is going to follow suit? And is it tempting for farmers to sell off their farmland instead of choosing to preserve it?
I think there's two keys in that question. One is the transition from one family or one generation to the next. That transition period is always tough. When the dad farms it a certain way and the son or daughter takes over and they farm it a little different way, that's always tough on a family. It's also tough on a family when you have 4, 5, 6 children and one of the children ends up taking over the farm. The other children perceive that as a significant benefit and they want a portion of that benefit. And so that's always a difficult thing to transition. And so that's when we see a lot of the conversion from farmland into development. And then the value that they get by selling it to a developer is distributed to the kids. You know, and we've worked out some ways to help improve that situation. And UW Extension and Farm Service Agency, everybody that works with farmers has some programs to try and help in those transition periods. The other question is there a child or a nephew or a niece that's interested in farming? Obviously, the age of our farmers, the average age of our farmers is going up. The average age of every profession out there is going up because of the baby boom generation and the demographics. And so that's an issue. We have to find people that are interested and willing. And that's across the board. We have less people interested and willing to go into industrial manufacturing, more of the blue-collar jobs, which farming is definitely a portion of those blue-collar jobs. But we're also finding out, you know, that we can educate our kids that technology has improved these blue-collar jobs, so they're not what we think of when we think of greasy, grimy, sweaty. There's blood, sweat, and tears in all of those professions, but technology's really improved that. And so teaching our kids through our technical colleges and universities how to have a higher technology, lower labor-intensive farm is important, too, for the future.
Taking a look at statewide, are we looking at significant problems losing farmland across the state? Sounds like La Crosse County, we're doing okay. We're holding our own. How about across Wisconsin?
I think it varies by policy, by county. Some counties are much more pro-development in the fact that they'd like to get more tax base, and don't exactly understand the costs, the long-term costs of that. And are seeing their taxes increase and aren't figuring out why. Well, that farm economy gives you a real strong base, and it actually stabilizes your economy and your tax base and things like that. And so that education is going across. But yeah, there are some communities out there that are really losing quite a few acres. Obviously, around Milwaukee, Milwaukee County doesn't have any farm acres. Looking at the farmland preservation plan for Waukesha County, which is immediately adjacent, they have very few acres planned for farmland in the future. Even though they've still got quite a few acres in farmland right now, they're planning for most of their county to be developed in the next 20 years. So yeah, we're going to lose some farmland. And some of that farmland is really good stuff. So is that a concern? Yeah, if we lose that tipping point, then we start to have less of a importance in the ag economy, less of a lobby at the state level, less of an influence on the legislature, et cetera, you know, that it's that whole infrastructure of agriculture.
Is that a big concern of farming and farmland and such being sort of a less and less priority?
I think so.
From perspective, what do you think causes that perspective? Are we as consumers, politicians, teachers, whatever, are we not really fully aware of farming, the importance of farmland, and such as perhaps we were a generation ago or a decade ago?
Definitely. I think a lot of surveys show that kids that grew up in the generation that I'm in had some sort of a connection to the farm. Maybe not all of us grew up on a farm, but maybe most of us had an uncle that we went and helped.
Yeah.
Or went and lived for the summer with this person or that person. I look at my kids and how often do they get on the farm. And I make a concerted effort to do that, to get them out there. But still, that connection is a weekend here, you know, a trip there for a little bit of fun. They don't exactly see the blood, sweat, and tears that I saw or that even that my dad really was heavily involved in. So, yeah, we start to lose that. We start to gain a little separation from that connection. Now, some of the things that are really good that are happening are all of these farmers markets, the community-supported agriculture, the sustainability movement is really getting people to go back and understand what organic means, what local farming means, what local produce is, and so that's a good thing. We need to continue that, but there's going to always be that continued separation. We're going into more technology. We're going into different careers. Agriculture is still an important part of the economy, but it's a little bit less of a priority in people's minds.
Charlie Handy is La Crosse County's planner. He spoke about the issue of farmland preservation with Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom. Coming up in the next half hour, home canners in the Cooley region have a chance to learn more about how the so-called pickle bill can help them. We'll preview a series of workshops that starts next week. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.